What are you doing on this planet? What are you doing in this town? What are you doing in your family? Our answer to that question really is about our identity. Because how you answer that question will direct, it will influence, and it's going to determine how you face life, how you address problems, how you address difficulties. Some of the ones we're not a shortage of talking about difficulties. It'll influence how you think about yourself, what your self-talk is like. You guys know what self-talk is? How many would like some of us to visit what goes inside of your brain and what you say to yourself? Not pretty. Our identity is reflected in that self-talk. How you make your life priorities, what you say is important. Because really, you're reflecting, as you make time to come here this morning, you're reflecting a piece of your understanding of your identity, even if you can't describe it in an articulate, complete way. You are defining your identity. The sad reality is every single one of us was born with a broken identity, a fallen identity, a sinful identity. See if you can relate to any of these words. An identity born out of disobedience, rebellion, stubborn, hard-hearted, self-worshipping human beings. Yay! It's the reality. You know, we can cover it up with masks, right? We can cover it up. But the reality is every single person is born with that. With that identity that's fallen. And it's our only hope to really grow into a meaningful and fulfilling life is really in relationship with God, with the Creator, the designer of the universe, the designer of who we are. The only place that we'll find fulfillment is in relationship to Him. And it just in the gospel story, right? God sent His Son to pay the penalty for our sin, to pay the penalty for our brokenness, our fallenness, our sinfulness. When God then raised Jesus from the dead, He created the potential for a new identity. And understand, when Jesus was buried, so was our old sinful identity. When He was raised to life, we were raised to life with a new identity. I know that's a concept that's really hard to understand. That identity, really another way to talk about it, is a word that we hear in Christianity, is being born again. Is to have a new identity. You are no longer spiritually dead, but alive. You have a new identity through faith in Jesus Christ. You and I, and when we put our faith in Jesus, we have a new identity in Christ. Who you are today as a believer is nothing like you used to be. It's a new identity. It's shockingly different. And our understanding, as we talk about who you are in Christ, it's so important to understand that as believers, because you behave like what you think about yourself. If you think you're a failure, that's what you'll be okay with. That's what you'll settle for. Yes, you're forgiven. You get to be forgiven. Yes, you get to go to heaven. Yes, you get the Holy Spirit. Yes, you get a new nature. But what you get isn't your identity. The blessings you receive aren't who you are. Being born again changes who you are into someone different. Someone that didn't exist before. Just like you look at little baby James and Sarah. Did they exist before they were born? No, when they were conceived, they became a person. They weren't somebody. When they were born, they entered this world. They were given names, right? James and Sarah. They didn't exist before they were born. They didn't exist before they were conceived. In that same way, when we become born again, who we are as somebody new, somebody different. Those kind of words that we become, as the Bible, Paul in a lot of places calls us what? Saints. You are a saint, a holy one, a spiritually born child of God, a divine masterpiece, a child of light, a citizen of heaven. Is that a little different than sinner, loser? Those things that you may say about yourself, you know, hard-headed, stubborn, rebellious. All those things, that new identity that we have. The reality is just being aware is like, if this is who I am, why do I feel like I'm not that? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because we have an enemy of our soul, Satan, who's hell-bent on keeping us from seeing ourselves as spiritually alive and complete in Christ. He can't damage our position. He can't damage us and take away that we're children of God. But he can deceive us into believing that we're not acceptable to God, that we're not good enough. He can deceive us in thinking that we'll never amount to much as a Christian. His most effective weapon is to deceive us, is to lie to us, into thinking that there's something broken about our relationship with God. That's why understanding that who you are as a child of God is so important. I just think it's always fascinating, just as I was aware of the words of the songs that Stephen has chosen, even though he's just like, oh, really, I just chose these songs. But I believe that God's Holy Spirit is in and through all things. And even though he may not be aware, or you may not be aware of the things you do, that God is directing those things. And we talked about this morning, as we sang about our Father, the Father of lights, the perfect Father. That Satan, he wants to get in the way of that identity, of that relationship. The reality, and this is kind of just mind-boggling, is our new identity. What is true about Jesus is now true about us. What is true about Jesus is true about us. We have a new identity in Christ. And so as we study who Jesus is, that's who we are. As we just focus on our identity, who we are in Christ, I just want to take a few minutes this morning as we talk about, I am a child of God. 2 Corinthians 6:18, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. What a crazy thing for God to say about these little selfish, rebellious people. What a kind of love he must have. And just as as you see your children become rebellious or grow in their independence and do some things, you still love them, don't you? You may not like what they do, but you still love them. In fact, we're so broken that sometimes we can feel unloved, and our mom or dad will say that they love us, and we tell them what? Oh, you'd have to. And the reality is, we choose to love our kids. God chooses to love us. Really, if we think about the ultimate purpose in God creating us, was to make us a part of his family. Every human being created has that kind of incredible possibility. I just think about the word father. We all long to be loved by our dads. We all long to be known by our fathers. I was reading a book called Identity, and Pastor Eric Geiger shares some stories as he observes kind of like the issues of growing up fatherless. And he tells a story, and I'll just kind of summarize it in just a sentence. But two brothers of a popular alternative punk band write the song Emotionless. And they repeat the word, and I won't do a yelling voice like they might do in the song, would do in the song, but the refrain is, you broke your children for life, as they describe their life without a dad. Another story, John's father left the home when John was a small child. He wrestled with his worth and identity. And he thinks to himself, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me that my father did not want to know me? Another story. Christy's father was a church and community leader to everyone else, but at home, he was verbally and mentally abusive. She cannot remember the words, I love you, from her father. She actually hates the word father now. And she seldom comes to church because she hears those words when people referred to God as father. And to her, one father is enough. But yet, she admits she's empty. Because the desire that we have for connection with a father really is God-given. He refers to himself as father because it's a reflection of our longing for an intimate, meaningful relationship with a perfect dad. Our soul can't find any peace unless we have a relationship with our heavenly Father. It's no wonder that Satan focuses his attention in breaking fathers away from their children with absent fathers, divorce, or all the baby daddies that we have. It's sad. I just know that in my own father, just my dad came from a broken home. My dad came from, and he was angry with his dad. He would tell me, he'd always say, I didn't have a dad. I don't know how to be a dad. But yet he was a great dad. But also he were things that were lacking in our relationship. But he desired not only to have a dad, he desired to be a great dad. He describes just the brokenness of his relationship with his father that I know he always wanted to have. And he took it into our relationship. And that intimacy that I desired. I remember we were having a serious conversation. I don't know, maybe a sophomore in high school. And we were in the kitchen. I was at the counter talking to him. I don't know if I was doing homework or he was making dinner that night. We were talking and I remember thinking, this is so cool. I don't know if I was talking about girls or just talking about life. But all of a sudden, my dad said, stopped. And he says, I can't talk to you like that. If you want to have that kind of relationship with somebody, you're going to have to go find somebody else. And I remember thinking, I was so sad because I knew the kind of home that he grew up in. He was so hurt by his own father, and I think what he desired from his father, that he felt like he couldn't give that to me. I remember realizing, I want that relationship with my dad. And it was just, I think, a gift from the Lord that I didn't feel embittered by that. But I realized that he longed to be a dad, and because he didn't have that relationship, he felt like a failure and a dad, and it was so scary for him to go to that place of intimacy. But the reality is God is our Father. And God refers to himself as Father. And how did he teach us to pray? It says, our Father who is in heaven. And so the reality is that if you think about a lot of people about dads, we tend to reflect God in our brokenness of our dads. If our dad was judgmental or critical or absent, that's how we look at God. When the reverse is true, it's like God is the perfect father, like we sang in that song. It's just the reality is, man, our earthly fathers are broken. God desires to be all those things that a father should be. It's not one-dimensional, but it reflects all his attributes. That's just that word, Father. God is holy. He's to be respected and honored. God is our provider. God is our protector. I remember was so important to me. I remember I had a paper route, and it was in part of it was in a kind of a rough neighborhood, and I remember this older kid came out to me and grabbed my handlebars and stopped me as I was delivering my papers. And he says, "Give me your money. Give me what, empty your pockets out." And he assumed that I had a few bucks in my pocket, which I did, and I told him no. And so he hit me in the face. And I said no. And so I drove away, finished my paper. My brother happened to be with me that day, and his eyes were this big. He's like, "What did I get into? I'm riding on my big brother's bike, and we're going to get beat up." And I went home and told my dad that night. I didn't know what he was going to do, and I didn't want him to do anything that would make it worse, right? You ever know that feeling? It's like, just make it go away. Don't tell him, because then he's going to really beat me up. My dad says, "I'm going to take care of this." And he went. We drove down the street, and he says, "Which house is it? Where does he live?" I says, "That house right there." He went that evening, and he went and visited this young boy's dad. I never saw that kid for about 3 years. Again, I was sad because I knew that how he was behaving was that he had a broken relationship, a broken home, that he didn't have a relationship, that it's probably because his dad worked, you know, two jobs, umpteen hours, that he wasn't home, but his dad knew what was right. And so I felt protected. I was like, wow, I can tell my dad, and he cares about me. He'll do something, even though I'm embarrassed or whatever. I knew that he would protect me. God is a father who will protect us and care about us. God is somebody who has authority and sovereignty over all things. God exercises his wisdom and knowledge. God is just. And God disciplines his children. But the reality is not everyone has the right to be his child. And this is where the world says, "Hey, it's all good. All of you get A's, okay?" The reality is there's a distinction. It's not a distinction that we earn, but it's a distinction that is given. John 1:12. "Yet to all who did not receive him, to those who believed in his names, he gave the right to become the children of God." It's a decision that and a privilege that comes out of our accepting Jesus as our Savior. It's a privilege that comes out of being in Christ. That's what allows us to be child of God. So you need to understand that that's so important. And we think about our identity in Christ, is that's what gives us privilege and authority. That's what gives us God's ear, is when we confess Jesus as our Savior, when we confess him as our Redeemer, we receive the right to become God's child. Rights are given. You don't go grab your right. You stand up for rights. But rights are given because of a just God. He not only gives us a right to be his child, he becomes our father. He is your father and my father. You are his child. 1 John 3:1. "See what a great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are." That's an amazing thing. You talk about that rebellious little spoiled brat. Okay, I'm that guy. Maybe you're not. You're really well behaved. But God is saying, "You know what? You're my child. I love you. I care about you. I'm your father. I'm going to do all those things. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to love you." We think about our Father. His love is personal. It's for you. God loves you. I love when we think about John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." And I like when people say, "For God so loved me, that he gave his only son." It's personal, specific for you. It's not general. When God lavishes his love on us, It's a permanent placement of His love on us. His love is intentional. It's not manipulated. It's not circumstantial. It's not by accident. But it's for you. His love is unconditional. You can't undo God's love. God doesn't love you if you or when you, right? Like your parents would say, when you clean up your room, then you can watch TV or then you can go out to play. God's love is unconditional. He says, I love you. I care about you. Not because you earned it, but because you're my child. His love is generous. Which we read in Matthew 6, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? God's saying, man, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be generous. Look at this world. Look how I've clothed, taking care of the birds, and the beauty of this world, and the animals. I'm going to take care of you. Romans 8, 15 and 16. The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. That's just mind-boggling. Think about God's Son. You're thinking, okay, we understand Jesus gets all this. But what's the miracle is that as we put our faith in Jesus, we get to have all of that. Can you see Jesus, God saying, no, Jesus, I'm not going to give that to you today. No, you just ask me tomorrow. It's like, man, whatever He asked, God gave Him. That same love that He had for Jesus is the love that He has for us. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we become His children. There's nothing like an inheritance in Christ. It's beyond what we can think or imagine. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has in store for those who love Him. His love is purifying. Hebrews 12. And go back one. There we go. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because of the Lord's discipline, because the Lord disciplines the one He loves, and He chastens everyone He accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as His children, for what children are not disciplined by their father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. And then verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. Can you guys say amen to that? But painful. Later on, however, produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. I was always baffled by our kids as we discipline them. They would just kind of like slowly get worse and worse. You know, I'd say, would you, help us here? No. And first you saw it maybe just in an attitude of how they did their chores or how they helped. And then it came out in their mouth. And then it just came out blatant, you know, no, I don't want to, or just a disobedience. And he just kind of like, you know, you might give a warning and say, hey, just giving the heads up, you're heading the wrong direction. And if things didn't get straightened out, we spanked our kids. Oh, you've met my kids. We spanked our kids. We made rules. I had to make rules myself. I never spanked them more than 3 times. If I was angry, I would go walk away. Because I want to discipline my kids out of love, not out of anger. But we spanked our kids. What was so bizarre to me, was so profound to me, was you would think that those kids would hate you like none other after you spanked them. But the reverse was true. I remember having conversations with them and say, hey, why are you gonna get a spanking? I said, because of this or that. I said, did we talk about that? Yeah. Did we say not to do that? Yeah. Did you do it anyway? Yeah. Do you know that I love you? We know you love me. I love you. I would hug them and then I would spank them. What happened after that was amazing to me, was profound to me, was I got a hug back like none other. There were tears. In fact, one of my kids would cry bloody murder before would ever get spanked. And that wasn't the healing part. The healing part was when they accepted the discipline and they accepted our love, our relationship changed afterwards. They would hug us back like none other, and they would walk away and you would think they were a new kid, a different kid. And they were a different kid. They were a new kid. I think about, as God loves us, that is the identity that He's given us. That identity of relationship, that we can accept God's discipline and say, I know you love me. And we can go walk away saying, I mean, they would walk out of the room and you're thinking, what happened in there? They would come out smiling. Maybe there were some tear marks there. They're smiling and they'd move and laugh and life would go on. It's so important. God's love is purifying because His discipline is out of love. He cares about us. Not only is His love purifying, but His love is safe. You can trust your Father. I think I've shared before, I remember used to praying, as I prayed God, you know, that song, you know, change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. And I'd look around and say, man, do you know what you're praying? Do you really want the Lord to deal with you? And I remember, because I know that it's hard. I describe as people go through difficulties and that discipline and recognition that we need God. I described it for me. I was like, I hate the process. In other words, the discipline. Nobody thinks it's pleasant as you go through it. But when it's done, you're like, yeah, that accomplished something good. I hate the process, but I love the result. And I remember thinking, oh, God, change my heart, but go easy. And I remember somebody said to me one day, I says, why? Don't you trust that God loves you? Don't you think He will love you perfectly? Like that song we sang, God's love is perfect. When I say, God, go easy on me, what I'm saying is I don't trust you. I don't trust that you're going to give me just what I need to change. And I'm convicted. I say, the reality is God's love is safe. We can say, God, change my heart. Is it going to be hard? Yeah. I was talking to somebody earlier this week and talked about some people have heard the term that sometimes I just need the 2x4 up the side of my head. Right? And he said, you know what? I need the kick in the butt. It's hard. But the result is good. We can trust that God's going to do just what we need. And the reality is some of us need more at times than others, don't we? Sometimes we're great hearers. We can hear a whisper. We can hear what God's saying to us and we do it. Other times we need to say it a little louder. Other times, hey, pay attention, I'm talking to you. And sometimes we need to get taken out behind the woodshed because we haven't listened to the whisper. We haven't listened to the voice. We haven't listened to a shout. We've needed to be addressed. But the reality is God's love is safe. I love children that are so trusting. And I just, as kids begin to, I have a friend of my son's, he throws his kid, I'm not kidding, he throws him up as high as the ceiling. I'm like, oh gosh. But this kid just just laughs and screams with glee. And why? Because he knows his daddy's going to catch him. And I just remember as kids, our kids grew up and they would get up on the side and they would find how fun it was to jump off the bed, the top of the bunk bed. And you're like, hey, this is kind of cool. And you catch them. And then they get so brave that then they start jumping before you're ready. You're like, wait a second. Why? Because they totally trust. They're like, hey, not only is this, I can trust you, but this is fun. That's the kind of God we can trust. Is a God that's not only trustworthy, but it's fun. We can say, man, I don't know what God's got in store today, but I know it's going to be good. It may be hard, but I know I can trust Him. Not only as we look at who we are as a child, is you look like your father. You look like your father. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called what? Children of God. Why is that? As God is a God of peace. When we're His children, we bring peace to situations. When we're walking in the reality, understanding our identity as children of God, we bring peace to situations. I want to be known. I just love what they talked about, Peter and John, as they went and talked before the Sanhedrin, and they were testifying about who Jesus was in the courtyard, in the synagogue, and in the temple. What did they say about them? They said they could see that these men had been with Jesus. Uneducated, but what came out of their mouths was Jesus. They could tell, I want to be somebody who they say, oh, I know whose kid you are. I know whose child you are. It's crazy. It's so the genetics that come, you know, we see that. We always laugh at and our own kids, you know, it's like the good qualities are ours, right? And the other qualities must have come from our spouse. But we have a God who has perfect genetics, perfect character that gets transmitted to us because we're His children. As Christians, as followers of Christ, our identity is found in understanding that we are His sons and daughters, that we are His children. Are you a sinner? Or are you a saint? Before you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you were a sinner. After you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you became a saint. Because that old person was buried with Jesus, was buried in the grave. Do you see Satan's biggest tactics is just to mess with us and say, man, you're a loser. What are you doing here? You can't get this right. You can say, no, I'm a child of God. I'm a saint. I'm a holy one. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm His child. The reality is God never calls His children sinners. Think about that. God never calls a sinner. How come we hear that in our head? Because that's not coming from the Lord. That's coming from the enemy of our soul. That's coming from our experience. That's coming maybe from our earthly father. God never calls us sinner, but He calls us saints. He calls us His children. He calls us holy ones. Identity. Who are you? Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know who you are as a child of God? Because the reality is, we cannot continually behave in ways that are different than we believe. We cannot consistently live in ways that are different than we believe about ourselves. How you and I live is a reflection of what we think about ourselves. Do you see the difference? I know that I behave poorly when I forget that I'm a child of the King. when I remember I'm a child of God, I live differently. It is so important to understand who you are as a child of God, that you're loved, that you have the perfect Father in heaven who's taking care of you, who's going to bat for you. I just offer this morning, if you don't know God as your Father, if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. Today is a great opportunity. If you haven't made that decision, I just offer it this morning. You can raise your hand. Let's close our eyes and pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for a miracle, that stunningly shocking reality that you have adopted us as your children. Not ones that you can back away from, but ones that you're fully engaged in, intentional, knowingly redeeming us as your children. Lord, I'd pray this morning, if there's anybody here, Lord, that doesn't know you as the true Father, as the perfect Father in heaven. Lord, that hasn't put their faith in you, Jesus, which gives us the right to become your children. If they haven't done today, God, your invitation is open. If that's you today, just raise your hand. And I don't want to embarrass you, but I acknowledge that it's really a decision, right? It says, to everyone who receives, who believes in his Son, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. It's a requirement, but the benefits are amazing. Lord, we thank you this morning. Lord, just as we consider who we are as children, Lord, would you help us as we are reminded, Lord, to walk out that reality. Lord, that when those voices come, that we would say, no, that's not who I am. This is who I am because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of his resurrection. I have a new life. That old person is dead and gone. That is no longer my identity. I'm a child of God. That's my identity. Lord, and when we sin, that we would come to you and say, Papa, would you forgive me? Papa, would you help me see what it is that's going on that I keep doing this thing? I want to walk in the reality of being a child of you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.